Hello and welcome to Humans Exhaust Me, a show caused by our current world and everything in it. I'm Biz Paul with the great hair, and I'm joined by my beautiful friend. It's Mrs. Felicia Jones with the good face.
Oh, you do have great hair. You're like really curly now. So when Paul came out to visit, of course, we were in the Southwest and there's no humidity. And Paul is just like, why are you guys always talking about humidity here? And he did not have the curls, but the curls are back now. And he is flexing his one curl.
Yeah.
He is flexing that curl hard. So you got to go. If you're listening, you got to go check out the YouTube. He is flexing really hard, this one curl. It lasted the entire day. Yeah. And for those curlies, you know what it is. It's that end of the day curl. The mousse is starting to wear out, but that one curl is still surviving.
It's living for its moment, yes. Which it's now having.
Oh, now you have a curl on top of your head.
That's fine. I don't care. Where are you this week?
I am in Valley of Fire State Park in Nevada, Overton, Nevada. So for those of you who are keeping up on your travel maps, it is gorgeous here. Oh my gosh. I wish I could, if we were that fancy with editing, we could show photos. But it is, if you go check out photos on the internets, it is absolutely gorgeous. And whatever you see will not do it justice until we got here. So it's amazing. So it's all red rocks in canyons. Absolutely to die for.
Is it raining there?
No, we wish it was raining. There's no rain. No. It's the Southwest. There's no
today,
rain.
None at all.
No.
It's the desert.
It's right. The desert.
Okay, fair enough. Well, as you know, I think that Britain is going to have a resurgence once the shit show is over, when we decide to export water. Because today on the BBC's website, there's an article called "When Will It Stop Raining?" We've got loads of it.
Yeah, we ain't got none out here. So the entire Southwest of the United States is dry, y'all. It is parched. So it's been trying to suck up as much rain as possible. And Paul, I know it's been in the news over there about Death Valley with the water in the park. I saw it. It's amazing. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, we just left Death Valley. And the last time I was there was 15 years ago. We went there for Christmas to go camping, me and Dustin. And of course, you can walk out onto the salt flat and just kind of take photos. But you couldn't walk out this time because there's like a whole lake. And it's like a lake, not just a little bit of water. It's like, whoa, like it's pretty impressive. So that's all the water that is in the state of California. So there you go. It's going to go soon.
There you go. Okay. In today's show, we've got a fair bit as usual. But we're pretty much ignoring everything that's going on in the world because we figured, you know, there's been a few weeks where it's got a little bit heavy. So let's talk about book club.
Yay, book club. Yay.
Not that we've got one, but we've just invented one. Felicia told me about this book. What was it called?
Die with Zero. I love this book. I forget the author's name. I think you have it right in front of you.
I don't. It's by my bed.
We're going to Google the author's name because they're going to be like, you gave us a book.
I want to say.
Yeah. And you did not tell us who it died. It's something Perkins. Die with Zero.
Bill Perkins.
Bill Perkins. That's what I thought. Really good. It's a financial advisor, former NFL football player who decided to write a book on what to do with your money. And his thing is, you should die with none of it. And kind of controversial. I don't know. So you just read the book. I love the book. So let's get your thoughts first on what you think of it.
Well, I'm only about just over halfway through, but I think I've started to get the essence and I just need some of the detail on the how, really. But the basic premise as I see it is you're a long time dead and you don't know when you're going to die. But you should try and not save money, financial wealth, but save life experiences. Ooh. And he encourages you to have the experiences when you need to have the experiences, i.e. if you want to go interrailing around Europe, you should probably do that
now
in your sort of late teens, early 20s, when you've not got any money, but that's okay because it doesn't really cost a lot anyway, and you can go and stay in hostels. Whereas if you're to do that when you're in your 50s or 60s and you're retired, you probably can't just, you know, share a dorm, or don't want to share a dorm and go out drinking all night and all that kind of stuff. So that it kind of resonates, because I kind of think there is definitely, I look back in the past and go, oh, I wish I'd have done that, wish I'd have done that. But the thing that sort of makes me go, this is very interesting, is we're all sort of told or encouraged to save for pensions and rainy day stuff, and you'll need some money when you retire to live and to have to pay for your healthcare. But what he points out in the book is, well, that's fine if you've got money for your healthcare, but you're just paying to prolong your life by a little bit. You're spending a lot of money at that point to prolong your life by a little bit. And wouldn't that have been better when you were younger? And he also talks about, which I think is a really good concept, about like life energy or life hours, and how many hours would you have had to have worked in order to pay for the thing? And if you're sort of in your later years and your healthcare is really expensive and it's costing you thousands of pounds or dollars a week or whatever, how many work hours did you have to put into to that?
It's deep.
Fascinating.
I know. I mean, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, the other thing I found quite interesting is the bit about kids, because look, the chapter was about like, well, what about kids? Because I very flippantly posted the cover on Instagram and said, sorry, kids, before I actually read the chapter about kids. But what he says about having dependents is, give them the money now.
Yeah.
Like, don't give them inheritance. Give it to them now when they need it.
Which makes sense. And for those of you who might read the book, he does have all these stories of people who had parents who saved all kinds of money and was always afraid of not having it. And then, you know, when they die, the kids find out they're sitting on, like, you know, millions of dollars and could have helped them out. Like, not just like, give me some money, but like, one of the daughters, she went through a really bad divorce. Her husband left her with five kids. She was struggling. And, you know, not saying that she was counting her dad's dollars, but it would have been like, you gave me this money. She inherited the money when she was like in her 50s. And it was like, man, I could have used this, you know, right when my husband left me and things like that. So I think it's more of, he's talking about, you know, there are a lot of people who are leaving their 60-year-old kids, 70-year-old kids with money inheritance, and like, they kind of don't need it, because they figured it out at that point, for those who have figured it out. Give them the money now and just know that it is their money. If you give your kid $100,000, they can blow their $100,000 however they want. But I did appreciate the book, because it does tell you to go live your life. And for those of you, I don't think it was, you know, you have to do everything in your 20s and your life is over. But it's just more go live now. Because what one of my friends says, today is the youngest you'll ever be. So go live your life. If there's something you want to do, go do it. Because you may wake up next thing you know, you're like 70 years old. Like, I wish I had done that. So yeah, I really enjoy the book.
Yeah, I think I'm looking forward to kind of some of the practical stuff. It has made me really think about it. And just in a really practical sense, I was looking at holidays with the kids this summer and what we're going to do, and we want to go in a motorhome because, you know, like, I'm all into the RV life now.
I know.
And I've seen how quickly you can like hitch up a vehicle to the water and the waste pipe, and I think that looks easy, so let's go and do it. And I was like, oh, actually they're really expensive to hire. And then I read this book and I was like, what are we waiting for? It does talk about like memories,
yes,
like building memories. The memories are the things that your kids will remember,
yeah,
not the fact that you gave them $100,000.
Yeah.
So those, you know, that gives you something as well. It also talks in the book about, you know, outsourcing your life, which I'm a fan of since I started doing it. And it was talking about, you know, outsourcing the cleaning or outsourcing, you know, all the things that you
I forgot. I didn't see that part in the book. I forgot. Let me go read it again.
Yeah, it was only a minor part, but I do that with like certain elements of my house, and it has been an absolute game changer for me. And so it's just the same idea, really. So I thought that was good. So it's a good recommendation. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Felicia.
Yeah, one of my favorites. And yeah, hopefully we can have more memories now. We can go to Fiji. Yay! We're gonna miss the Olympics though. I think we've waited too late to plan this.
Yeah, I think okay. I think it's probably not possible. But to be honest, I'm not really feeling it. And I know like the Parisians aren't either, but I was reading about their opening ceremony. Did we talk about this in previous weeks? I can't remember.
We haven't.
But so the Paris 2024 opening ceremony is not taking part in a stadium. It's taking part along the River Seine. The audience are going to be on the banks in temporary stands, I guess. And the athletes are coming down in a flotilla of boats.
No.
Now that, yeah. Because you know, they're like, hey, we're Paris and we're the French and we'll do what we want. Obviously, all of this.
Okay. Okay.
It is. This is what they're doing. This is what they're doing, right? It's a lot of boats. I don't know how they're going to do it, but this is the grand idea. It's never been done before. And it's all about, you know, Paris being open, this, that, and the other. This was before the Moscow terror attack.
Mm.
Now they're going and there's going to be snipers everywhere. And I'm thinking that's too late.
I mean, having it in a more controlled environment sounds a little bit easier. I mean, it sounds like it could be creative, but that means you got to lock down a whole very large area to get people, you know, in the waiting area, onto the boats, off the waiting area. And then like when they're done, where do they go? Is there a concert or something? Do they go to a stadium? All right.
I don't know. I don't know.
French being
but,
all
you know,
Frenchy.
We'll see.
Look at them. Okay.
Yeah. Meanwhile, tickets are extortionate and there's nowhere I'm going. So we did look at it. I was on the waiting list for tickets. Yeah. And there's no way I'm paying €600 to go to watch like the basketball third place playoff. Or so. I'm just not doing it. So
okay.
Never mind. Anyway. Let's talk. We've talked about books. Let's talk about something else, which is the opposite of books, which is technology.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I read on a Kindle, so that's technology, right? No.
Good segue. Yeah.
Well, one of the interesting things that's been coming up today, I haven't been able to do any work because I've been up since 6:30 a.m. doing IT with my mom. And this has been going on for weeks and weeks now, and trying to figure out, my sister has very little patience with IT stuff. And so her solution to everything is just create a brand new account, and trying to go through and undo all of these accounts, and talking to my mom, who's just like, I don't even know the username for that account. It's like, okay, mom. So yeah, so I'm in this perpetual cycle of all these things. And then my mom is one of those who uses her work email address as the backup for everything. So when she's doing this on the weekend, she gets frustrated because it's sending emails to her job. And of course, by the time she gets to work, she's forgotten, and she goes, and she is the one who will always go up to the Apple store. And I don't know about you guys, and I'm hopefully, if anyone is listening and they work at the Apple store people aren't that great sometimes. And they make the situation even worse with it, and it just keeps piling on. So I'm dealing with a sister who has very little patience, and my mom who's just forgetting everything, and my dad just says, go to the Apple store. So that has been the last 2 weeks. So I'm officially involved. And I am on IT duty. So I think this is my summer project, because they think I can do all of this by tomorrow. I'm like, oh, no. You guys put a dirty bandage over a gaping wound. So we got to go one by one and unentangle the mess that has been created. So I don't know. Have you been doing IT support with your family? I think I need a support
group. For years. I think... That's probably a good idea. I've been doing IT support for years. Now, I used to work in the tech sector. Mm-hmm. And I used to understand a lot more about Windows back then. I'm now an Apple person, so I understand it less. But the concepts are still the same.
Yes.
But when people know you work in technology, then you do become IT support for them and everyone else in the family in particular.
Yes.
Because you're the go-to person.
And we are...
It doesn't yeah, matter.
We're two people with computer science degrees, so there you go. Yeah.
So, you know, it doesn't matter what their problem is. It's all technology. Mm-hmm. So I used to get a bit more involved in helping people buy equipment. So buying a laptop would be the thing, or buying a computer. Is this a good one? I'd be sent links. Is this a good one? And I was like, well, it depends on what you mean by good.
Yeah, you've done that to
what
us,
are you
Paul.
Looking to do?
Yes, we've seen your links.
What do you mean by yeah? What do you mean by good? So that's fine. And I would like go and help set them up and things like that. But then it would be like now I don't work in the tech space. I work in marketing and there's technology involved in it. And I still have what I would call a good.
So you're still in the tech space.
IT literacy, but I'm still like tech support.
Yes.
So the other week I had an email from my ex-father-in-law.
Wow.
Yeah. He'd had his laptop for 8 years now and the battery is draining. He's been told he needs a new battery, but he doesn't know what to do. Can I help him? Now, there's a simple one-word answer to that. but because I'm kind and a nice person, I thought I'd ask some questions.
That's where you get in trouble. You start asking questions and then the whole dam of things open. It's like, oh my gosh, what did you do?
It unravels. My go-to answer really on things like that is, it's a bit out of my league, this one. I think you need to take it to the computer shop in the village or, you know, things like that. Can I change a battery in a laptop? I could probably give it a go, but I had to watch a YouTube video on how to change the blade on my lawnmower. So it's probably changing a battery is not going to go well, I don't think. So that was my limit. But why do they ask? What is the worst, not worst, what is the most difficult thing that you've been asked to do? Or what is the craziest thing that someone's assumed that you can do that there's no way on earth that you would be able to do?
Fix everything. It's like with little information, this is the problem. It is fixing things with little information. And you have to get into 5-year-old mode and like, okay, tell me all the letters that you see on your screen so I'll know exactly what you're talking about. I mean, I'm at the point now, Dustin and I were sitting here trying to figure out how to break into her work email account. That I am at that level, okay, like, can we break into their server? Can we do this? Because trying to get them to explain what they're seeing, because they get frustrated really fast. And, you know, and what's happened with me is like my in-laws are great. They write down their little questions, which is amazing. And we just go through them one by one when we see them. So they store up and that's great. And so we can knock things out pretty quickly and usually simple stuff. How do I get my photos? How do I get this? I don't see an icon that used to be in the top right anymore. And then now you got to figure out what icon are you talking about? You know, the one that's pretty, like, okay, which pretty one? So at least they will do it all at one time. And his dad is great about this. My family is a little bit different because everybody gets spun up so quickly. And it's just like, all right, let's bring it down a level. And then the hardest part is trying to tell them what I'm going to do, because then that will spiral into another, I don't know what that is. I don't, like, it's like, calm down. Like, let's bring it down. I'm just
the panic. Yeah,
like,
the panic.
I'm just telling you what's about to happen. Like, you know, I'm going to go into your account. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And it's like, what is that account? What is that? Like, calm down. Calm down. So I think this is probably the hardest one. I tried to do this a couple of years ago when I went home, but essentially my mom got locked out of her iPhone And she doesn't have one of those new ones where you could do the face or whatever. I'm not an iPhone user. And so this is always the hard part because we are not iPhone users and the rest of the family is. And we have been having serious marriage discussions on if we need to go over to the Apple world so that we can figure out what they're doing. And I really don't want to, but it's just like these people are going to make me go over to Apple so that everything is synced. So at least I have a tablet. But yeah, she locked out of her phone, which she created an Apple ID with a Hotmail account, which is confusing her because at the same time they create an Apple ID, she locked that. And so everybody created brand new accounts. And so now she's trying to get to one app on her phone that doesn't have her notes. So now I am untangling the last 4 years of trying to figure out where all these things are.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is that. I love the fact that you might have to move your entire system to match theirs.
We've been talking about this for years.
It's an interesting thing to do because I've moved my mum from Android phone and an Android tablet over to iOS.
So that you can
and
see.
Mac OS. Yeah. So that I can attach her to my family.
See?
So
yep.
I bought her the phone. I set up her account. She's part of the family. It just means that I can be the secondary contact.
Yes.
And I've had to use that as well when she's like locked herself out or whatever. That has been very helpful. I mean, on that Apple ID, she's been locked out so many times that it is paying dividends that I am the secondary account in that. So, and the interesting thing is, that's the same way I approach the kids. Mm-hmm. The kids are all Apple so that I can control settings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's helpful.
I think
the password thing is interesting though, because passwords confuse people anyway.
Yes.
But I've kind of given up on trying to explain the benefits of using different passwords for every account. That's just not going to fly.
Yeah.
Does not work. No. Older people need to have one password that they can remember, or they really need a password manager so they can just mention. I can't remember that.
I'm at the baby stages of explaining password manager, and that's not nobody's really understanding me. Yeah.
It's hard passwords, and you know they're the weakest thing. I mean, God forbid I introduce multi-factor authentication to the older family members, but as we all know, multi-factor authentication should be applied to everything where possible to stop you getting hacked.
But it's there anyway, even if they don't. I mean, because the thing I ran into today was even trying to get into one account, the secondary it sends a code to her email, but trying to get into this Apple ID. Somehow, some way, the Apple people have her phone number is there, but it's not connected to the Apple ID, so it won't send it to the device. So I have to go back and resend as a text message. It's really weird how it is, but I think this literally is going to be a summer project to figure out what this is. And then now I have to go through, unfortunately, I'm going through my mom's emails now because now.
Oh, it's essential.
Well, because now I need to see which accounts are tied to which email addresses so I can move them all back to one so that we can not have six different email addresses and create new ones every time.
I've been there. I have been there. I don't want to feel like I'm picking on my mum particularly, but she's a great example because she trusts me to help, and I'm willing to help her because I think it is confusing and she finds it confusing. But bless her, my mama has a little book. She has a little book with her usernames and passwords in. Yes, this book is like what do you call it when you like you don't have anything in your mind and stuff just comes out on the paper, like random writing or whatever it is. If someone was, this is not a security risk because if someone was to pick this book up and look at it, they wouldn't have a clue.
It's just a list
what
of
this book is
passwords
about.
And maybe usernames. And the way it has worked before, My dad has that. So it's like, Dad, what's your, because they'll wait until I get there, like a whole year. Oh, I can't get into the computer. Like, okay. It's like, what's your username? Here comes the book. Try this. Try this. Try this. It's like, oh my God. There's like, okay, this seems to work. What's the password? Try this. Add a L. Take a L
The
out. And
one.
it's like, add a one. It's like, oh my God. So that's like a whole hour of just try this. And then, of course, I'm trying to do, you try to do the forget password or send a code. So we've done that. Oh, it sends a code to this email address. Well, how do I get into that? Here comes the book again. Try this. And it's like, it's like this shouldn't take so long. But yes, they have the book. And I think what's happening is that my mom graduated from the book and she uses notes. So she is freaking out right now. She's like, I need my notes. I need my notes. And so my sister is calling me. She wants her notes. I'm like, what's in these notes? Her notes. Emma's like, are they passwords? And it's like literally everything. And I was like, okay, so we need to get this woman her notes because she is literally freaking out and has been to the Apple store like 3 times and is like going off on these people because she doesn't remember her password. Oh, man.
I totally feel you.
The book.
The book is obviously an
We
important thing.
can't.
How old is the book? Because like the book that I have to deal with is full. It is full, and like on certain pages, there's like
Yes.
crossed out and the new one in, and a little date, and then that one's crossed out and another date where it's been reset. But then 3 or 4 pages
There's a new
along, there's the same thing but with a different date. And which one is it? And some of them are not a date.
Yeah.
It seems sounds like we're having similar experiences
Yes.
there.
Yes. It's the book and the
What is
notes.
it about us? So what is it about us that is attracting us to them as IT support?
Well, when you're their child, who else are gonna go
Oh,
to? You're their child,
okay.
so they're gonna come to you. Otherwise, they're gonna go to the Apple store or Best Buy. I don't know if you have an equivalent of Best Buy, some other place. They're gonna run into somebody who's gonna make it even more confusing because, I mean, as you know, it depends on how they're talking. Like, what words are they saying? Oh, like my mom still calls text messages emails. So you
Okay.
know her language. And so I'm assuming if she goes to the Apple store and they say, well, we're going to send you a text. So you're going to send me an email. And then now you're going back and forth for 10 minutes. What's a text and what's an email? And then everybody's frustrated. So I think one, they know, you kind of know their language. And then two, once you see like what happened with whoever helped them, you're just getting frustrated. And I think at some point you eventually get some patience because you're just going to grab the phone and say, just give me the phone and let me just do this.
Oh, I'm much more of an interventionist, if possible. Like,
Oh God, yeah.
I don't waste time trying to talk somebody through it. I know, like in principle, the training principle should be, give a man a fish and he'll eat, give a man a fishing rod and he'll feed himself, or whatever
No,
the
I'm doing the
parable
meal prep.
is.
We ain't doing none of that anymore.
Like it's a waste of time trying to train somebody to do it because it's not something that they will do every day.
Yeah.
I wonder whether somebody. If not, here's a business idea we might want to think about. Should create like a 101 of technology for people who don't really know it
No.
and do like video courses.
No.
No?
No. You talking about for our parents?
Why? No.
No. No.
No,
No.
they're not going to do
No,
it. They're not
you
going to do it.
teach a
Okay.
course on how to maneuver the phone from your parents so that you can knock this out quickly and to make it go fast. Because I told them what I'm about to delete 5 of these email accounts because I'm confused when y'all talk to me and I am the backup on everything now. So that's what we're going to do. We don't teach them. My mom, I'm asking my mom, like, what's your email address? And she gives it to me. And then she's like, but I don't know the username for it. Like, it's the email, mom. But okay, that's where we are. And so my husband, he still tries to, maybe we should teach her, like, nope, we are beyond that. We're in takeover mode. So the course should be how to get through your parents' emails without seeing stuff you're not supposed to be seeing.
Right. That's the thing, isn't it? That's the thing. What about remote control software? That's nearly at the stage where I'm at. It's like, just go on to the computer and give me control.
I don't know what it is. We actually talked about this like last night, because Windows Assist does have that. You pop it up, they give you a code, and then the other person, you can talk to them through this code or whatever with Windows Assist. I was actually trying to figure that out today. That's my today's project, to figure out if there is an Apple version, because I really do need to see her phone to see what she's doing. And then I'm going to call my sister. Sometimes, you know, you have a time limit on people to get things done. And I'm pretty sure my sister is listening. Hey, Lynette, you know what I'm talking about. you know, so
I was waiting for the reference for Lynette. Come on, Lynette, get involved.
So it's like you got a time limit on like being able to walk through. So it's almost like I just need the phone. And she was like, can you just wait until you get here in November? And I'm like, no, I actually can't, because it's just going to get worse as the summer goes on. So
yeah,
that's what we're doing today, Paul. IT, full on customer service.
Okay. So do you want to treat it as a service, because you know that your parents are over familiar, or your family is over familiar? They're not being polite when they're getting frustrated or stressed.
No, they're not.
I mean, you sounded like a 911 responder when you're saying, "Okay, let's just calm down and let's deal with it."
Well,
they're your parents.
Well, I figured last night I was talking about this. I got the feeling my mom was ready to get off the phone with me. So I sent a text to my sister. I was like, "I don't think our parents like me anymore." She said, "Because they know you're not playing with them." I was like, "I don't think it's that." I was like, "I don't think parents like me. It's just like, get off the phone with this girl." So
I must say, I sometimes get frustrated. And sometimes it shows because it can't be done. And to be honest, I don't have a lot of patience at the best of times.
So you're like Dustin. But I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. So what I'll do is like, just pause. Let's tone it down. So just read all the letters you see to me, so I'll know exactly what we're doing. So I will get into that mode. Yeah. I think they get frustrated with that too.
Oh, right. Okay. See, mine, and this is not, I'm not just talking about my mum here, but like, I have a tendency to go, well, why did you do that? Which is really judgy and pointless, but I can't help myself.
I would say that was probably me maybe 10 years ago when I tried to help them with this. Now it's just like, I just need enough information so I can break in and do it myself. That's where I am. Yeah. Just give me enough information. And so between my sister and my mom, I'm calling everybody, you know, mom's password to this. Okay, cool. I'm breaking in. I'm just going to do it myself, and I'm going through all your emails.
Do you get it in any other aspects of your life? Because I get it all to do with social media. Because, you know, social media is just one part of the thing that I do for a living. It's not the be-all and end-all, but it's what family members or friends know about most, I think, or would have some interest in it. No one is asking me to do them a customer journey map. But they will ask, you know, how do I do this on a page, or how do I set this to this? And I'm like, it's the same thing. So I'm having to talk people through it, just like I am IT support, but it's social media.
People love you, Paul. I don't think people like me anymore. Nobody calls me for anything. nobody asks me about social media, and I'll tell them don't. Obviously my parents don't call me for IT stuff. It's my sister. And then eventually like, okay, I'm getting involved now. But I think we talked about this. I think I'm such the black sheep of a family that nobody knows what I'm doing, even though I tell them and send them emails all the time and talk to them at least 3 times a week. Nobody knows where I am. And even to the point yesterday, my mom is just like, so when are you guys going to get a house? And I was like, we're not. So you're just going to roam around everywhere for the rest of your life? Is that how you want your life to be? I'm like, wow, mom. Okay. So I don't think nobody's really calling me for anything. I'm officially the black sheep that kind of exists that people talk about, but nobody calls. So no, nobody calls me. I don't know if I should be happy or sad about that.
That has its uses. Yeah, I think that has its uses. If they don't know what you do.
Nobody knows what I do.
They can't ask you for help.
I think people think Dustin is forcing me to do things.
And is he?
I mean, yes, he's forcing me to go enjoy life.
Blink twice if he is.
He's forcing me to enjoy life. Like, even when I got married and they were like, he made you go have that wedding outside, right? I'm like, seriously? I got married in Grand Teton National Park, which is absolutely gorgeous. So according to them, he made me do that because I didn't really want to do that.
Well, you're just a woman.
Yes. You know. And he's making me go sailing and he's making me go see beautiful things outside. So yeah.
Yeah. Bad times. Okay. fine. Okay. So before we wrap up, so I feel like you're the better person here. So for those listeners who might be being asked for help when it's not really their primary area of expertise, but they are the best shot for the person asking for the help and they are reluctantly going to help, what top tips can people take away from this episode on how to do this with grace and patience?
Take a few breaths before you talk to anyone in your family about this. If you do not have a friend that can walk you through it, or you can hand off your family member to them, make sure you give them some money for doing that or buy them some pizza or something because they're about to take on a lot. But people listen to strangers, which is funny. You know, have a friend that'll walk you through it. It'll make you look good. Otherwise, just start doing the YouTube videos before you have to talk to them. And if all else fails, just figure out how to get into their email address, because that's usually where the heart of the problem is that they forgot their password and they put in the wrong one like 1200 times. And I don't know, that seems to be the easiest one for me at this point, but don't get mad at them because it's just going to make it worse and they're going to go create a new account. They're going to go to the Apple store and it's just going to get even worse. And then now you got to deal with it. So...
So you have to deal with it either way is basically what you're saying. So protect yourself.
Yes. Do it early. Don't let it get late because then you are dealing with 5 different accounts and you're just like, what in the world is going on here?
Good advice. Yes. Good advice. If you're listening or watching this and you are deemed to be IT support, I would love to know your stories about your experiences of this, because I feel like between us, we could have some kind of potential for a support group going. And if we get any, we can share those tales.
Well, one of the other things I did around Christmas time, I did an IT support day. So for all family, we were in IT support mode. We set up all laptops and we had people line up to bring us their problems and we fixed that. So that actually does help if you do that like 3 times a year, the day after a family function. It really does help.
I like it. You can get people, you know, book it through Calendly. Yes. You know, like,
no,
this is
you
your
make
time
them,
slot.
Make them stand in line. Don't be late. Make them stand in line in the living room and wait. It's like, don't move because you're going to lose your spot. They have to stand in line right then and there.
You could have like surge pricing as well. Like, you know, like this is the price for like peak time, just like a Ticketmaster at a Beyonce concert.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Good tips. I feel like we've come full circle. Yes. Brilliant. All right. Well, look, you know, much love to you and your family for the IT support that they're going to give. And now Lynette knows that, you know, you're available. There's going to be all the more for it. So, all right. Let's leave it there. Nice to see you again in, what was it? Fire?
Valley of Fire. Yes, that's where I am.
Valley of Fire.
Nice to see your curl.
Where will you be next time?
We will be in Zion National Park, which is even more red rock curly. So go check out your... Go Google it. Look up Zion. It is absolutely magical.
There you go. All right. We'll see you next time then.
See ya.